Well, how do you follow on with that? I'm trusting that you're not going to compartmentalize this meeting, that the worship will just continue, that as I just share on something that God showed me this week, I'm sharing and or preaching on a psalm that I've never preached on before. I've read it, but never preached on before. But I was a little nervous, I must confess, I think for two reasons. Well, because it's probably the first time I've shared on this, but maybe secondly because of the nature of what I'm sharing on, just on God, trusting that I'll represent Him well in that. Just as those prophetic words, as the prophetic words were brought, I was reminded of the parable that Jesus told about the wise man and the foolish man building their house on the rock, the foundation. When the storm came, you know, the one house fell that was on sand and the one house stood that was on the rock. My preach is on being a storm chaser. I wondered as those words were being brought, I felt the Lord lay on my heart, said God was in the storm. And I'm going to show it to you out of this passage of scripture from Psalm 29. I believe David was like a storm chaser. So just to give you a little bit of a background, David must have seen what he is writing about and then put God into the picture. And as I read through the psalm, I'm going to read it slowly. I want you to do a couple of things as I'm reading that. I want you to make a visual circle, if you had a pen, around the number of times the Lord comes up and the number of times the Lord's voice comes up. Then I want you to see the position from which the Lord speaks as I read the psalm. And I believe, let me just read it, then I put the paint the picture that I think what David saw. I want you to bring you into this beautiful picture that David wanted us to share with as he was just writing this about what he was seeing, maybe sitting from his palace or sitting from a home on the coastline, wherever it was. I'm not quite sure where he was when he wrote it. So I'm going to read it to you. Now, I want you to see how David chased the storm. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Just before I carry on, you'll see that I've called this a guideline to being a storm chaser. It's like a little booklet. On the one end is worship, and on the other end is worship, and in between is what's happening in the storm. So that was the opening cover. Then it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waves. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare." And here's the back end. "And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. There the Lord blesses his people with peace." So I don't know if you got the picture. David sitting, I'm sure he must have seen this. Apparently what happened often in that area was the storms would come up quickly over the Mediterranean Sea, and obviously the winds would whip up the waves, and obviously there was these clouds, and it was this tempest and blowing, and then suddenly though that storm would begin to move across the land, across Lebanon, and then he would see the wind blowing the trees. Can you visualize what he's trying to do? Blowing the trees and uprooting trees and laying the forest bare, and then runs over the desert, maybe a desert storm, and all the way to the temple, which is in Jerusalem. And so he's watching this, and he begins to ponder God in the storm. He begins to think about God, his attributes, and what he is like. The word Lord, and the word Lord there, whenever we see the Lord, it's actually Adonai. The word means the totally sovereign king who rules over everything, the one who's sovereign over all and therefore sufficient for all. That is the God. So wherever you see it, the name written there, what he does, he speaks. When that Lord who rules over all speaks into situations, it's the God who's sovereign, the God who rules, the God who reigns, who's in all and through all. That's the God. So as you see it, and it's mentioned 18 times in 11 verses, the Lord is in the storm. I'm hoping that out of this, I don't know where you are with your life, where you're at. Maybe you're in a storm. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you're going well. But I want you to know today that the Lord is in the storm. And you'll see, I don't know what David was going through when he wrote the storm. Maybe a storm in his own life. He began to see God in control. See, God ruling and reigning over the circumstances. The psalm begins with him being the heavenly being, seeing him in heaven and giving him worship. And it ends in his temple where the believers give him glory. And in between, he's over all circumstances in life. He's in control over it all. No matter what enemy comes and brings against us, he is in control. No matter what circumstances there are, no matter what storms we face, he is there. And he speaks his word into the situation. He speaks his word over the situation. This is the God that we serve. I'm trusting and hoping at the end of the service, at the end of this message, and as we're going to worship again, that the words, the works, and the wonder of God lead us to true, authentic worship. Where the immensity of his worth would define the intensity of our worship. God is incredible. He's amazing. So every time he speaks, he speaks his character into your situation. And I want you, when you go home, as you circle that word, I'm going to as I was just thinking and pondering the scripture, I just picked out, I think, 7 or 8 character traits as he speaks that come to me out of this passage. In the Bible says about Jesus, who is the cornerstone, says in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, from the beginning to end, is in it all. He is the Word. And as he came, even Jesus, when he came, he was God's Word to us, God's love demonstrated to us, God's kindness, God's goodness expressed to us, the Word, Jesus, the Word. And I want you, as I'm saying, speak the Word. He speaks the Word over that situation. I want you to visualize he's speaking Jesus. Jesus. Jesus in the storm. He is the radiance of the glory of God, an exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the Word of his power. And so he begins to speak as David's watching, as he watches as the storm go through the land. He sees, and I see, the majesty of God. Just the beauty. I when we were in Mossel Bay, I remember, I think they called it a perfect storm. We were there. We were there for 11 years. Where the tide and the moon and the wind and the direction of the wind was this perfect concoction of a storm that literally raised, I think, the tide by 3 or 4 meters, and the wind just rushed over the low areas and just flooded everything and broke walls down and foundation. These things, what it did, and there was a tragic event that happened in that all. But and that storm, as I looked at it, was just like, how powerful is this? How majestic is this? And I'm thinking, God, just blowing it, just blowing it in it. How majestic is his name? I see the majesty of God in the storm. I see his sovereignty all the time. He says he rules over all. He says the God speaks over the storm. He speaks into the storm. He speaks through the storm. God is in it all. And I want to say, for every single one of you, you can know today that God is speaking into your situation if you allow him to. If you allow him to, that we don't begin to trust in ourselves. I'm going to touch on that just now. He's sufficient. He is, because he's sovereign, as I said just now, he's sufficient. He doesn't need us. I see the total sufficiency of God. I see a picture of his holiness. Totally different to us. Totally pure, totally glorious, totally incomparable. I think one of the songs sang about that. Lovely, by the way, the worship that I did so far has been amazing. Just feel my heart connect with, after having been preparing, Lee, as of preparing for this meeting, probably a bit more than others for the specifics, but I felt that connection because God wants to put a foundation in our lives of God himself, of God, his character. His omnipresence. God is in the heavens. God is in the storm. God is in his temple. God is everywhere. Not is he present through all the circumstances, but he's present here with us today. And I just love that. The truth that this God of the universe, the majestic sovereign king who rules over all, is here today. Here today. And if you don't know him, or you're far away from him, he invites us to get to know him. He says, you can come know me through Jesus. He invites us to present himself to us, that he can live inside of us and through us. That is the incredible nature of our big and our glorious God is. This is a beautiful psalm. As I said, as I was reading through it, I was like, God, you're all over the psalm. And I just read it in scripture. Okay. But David, when he saw the stuff happening in reality, and he began to write as what he saw, and God in that. See a picture of God's power and his strength. I see a picture of God's glory. I see a picture of God coming and bringing us peace. And you can go on and on and on about how big God is, yet how willing he is to come and encounter us where we are in the storm, what we're going through. He's here. And when the storm comes and he's in the storm, in the river, the Holy Spirit touching the foundations, are we founded on the truth of who God is? I've served God now for more than 50 years. It's my testimony. And I want to say that God's faithfulness over the years has just been the nature of God, just been there for me. I haven't always fully understood him, and I don't fully understand him, but it's always, even as I was reading the psalm, I got to know more and more about God. Get God, who he is, the lover of our soul, that perfect person. Just allow it to be the foundation in your life. And so we have this picture, and I told Joey, it's not going to be a long preach today, but I'm hoping that as I share the bigness and the beauty of God and his desire to be with us and present himself with us, whatever we're going through will move us to a place of authentic worship. And so David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes in the psalm two kinds of ways that we respond, which is authentic worship. How can I make this God of the universe, sovereign king, who rules over all, who rules in through it, how can I make him the foundation? And the first thing we do is, it says there, ascribe glory that's due his name. Ascribe. That word ascribe glory means that I give him give to him what he alone deserves. We don't add or measure to his glory, but we reflect back to him the glory that he inherently has within himself. There's a word in the Bible, I think it often David talks about it, is magnify the Lord. Now we can magnify the Lord in two ways. One is with the, well, you can magnify, like if I take what do you call those? Magnifying glass or a microscope, sorry, that's the word. I look at something that's very small, and I try and make it a bit bigger so that I can get understanding or meaning of it. Or I can take a telescope and point it at something very small and magnify it in my life. And worship, and our response in worship is more like that. It's not taking something small and making it bigger. It's actually taking something that's very, very big, immense. And I take one star and I make that one thing big in my heart. I'm not going to stand the immensity of who he is, but I'm going to take one day just that thing. Big. Just magnify yourself in me, God, so that I can see, so that I can respond in an appropriate way to you. That word ascribe, describe, goes something like, comes from the word scribe, which means to write. What David is saying is, when you read something about God, when you read about his sovereignty, inscribe it, write it on your heart. Write it on your heart. When you see one aspect to his nature of who he is, you write it on your heart. You ask God, do something in you. So that magnify it so that I am grown and I begin to worship you in a way that's appropriate to the bigness of who you are. I magnify, I'm scribing it on my heart. I'm writing it on my heart, who he is. I'm writing, I'm building a foundation of the nature of who he is in my heart. Hello. Getting us to a place where he sees worth, man. We give our worship because of who he is. So when I scribe, doesn't mean I just come here and sing some lovely songs. When I'm singing those beautiful songs and the words come and his word comes about who he is, I say, God, put it in my heart. Write in my heart that it stays there. Just burn it in my heart. That becomes the foundation of what I believe, what I think, and how I live and how I behave, because you've imprinted your nature in my heart. So when the Lord imprints on my heart, he is sovereign, I relinquish control. I give him control. When the Lord imprints on my heart that he rules and reigns forever over all, I trust him implicitly in everything. This is what it means to ascribe. When I see the radical generosity of God giving to me and entrusting to me his glory and his character, I give him back. I reflect back to him his glory, not about me, about him. Reflect it back. I give back. What he gives, I give back. You said a little bit. It's amazing. Even the teaching went along today, the finance teaching, stewardship teaching. When he blesses me with his strength and his peace, I say thank you. I live a life of gratitude when it's imprinted on my heart. When I see his presence with me all along, I rest. I know I'm at peace when I know he's with me. And when I understand, when the sufficiency of God, when he's totally sufficient in himself, when that is imprinted on my heart, then he becomes more than enough for me. He becomes more than enough for me, and that's how I live my life. Foundation. I live my life from the foundation of who God is. I ascribe to him the glory that's due to him. I give him back what he's imprinted on my heart. That's worship. A life given to him. Amen. You all with me? The second area that David process, or one you ascribe, you print the nature of God and respond to that imprinting on our hearts. And the second thing he says is, you worship the Lord in the splendor, the beauty of holiness. Now, that's almost like a contradiction. Holiness is totally separate, totally different, totally, I can't reach it. It's like the holiness of God. It's Isaiah falling, I'm not worthy, on my face. Holy, 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 that picture of awesomeness of who God is. And yet on the other side, it's the beauty of holiness. I was reminded, just as I was thinking of this verse, I was reminded of the day that we got married. So I got in this suit. I thought I looked quite smart in it and everything. It was a size, 4 sizes smaller than I am now, by the way. I thought I looked quite smart and everything, and waiting for Kim to come down the aisle. And I think it's like this at any wedding. And the moment Kim came in, like, what I wore didn't seem to matter anymore. It's like, these look like rags. It's like the rest of the wedding is about the bride. It almost seems like that. I don't know. It's just like, total beauty, like this perfection. And it's like, man, I just want to look at it. But because she was my wife, I said, I want to draw close. And I think the holiness of God is something like, not only that, but I think it's something like that. This perfection, this the beauty of holiness is draws us closer to Him. God doesn't want to be separated from us. He's approachable. His holiness is something that can be grasped, but only through Jesus. Only because Jesus has made it possible for every single one of us. When I remember the majesty and beauty of God, I want to draw close to Jesus. Actually, in a way, it's one aspect to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is actually staying close, getting close to Jesus, making sure I stay close to Him. I love that in the storm, David was saying, in the midst of the storm, allow what's happening in life, allow God to reveal Himself, ascribe it, write it on your heart, respond in worship, respond with a life sold out to Jesus. And at the same time, look at His holiness, look at His difference, say, I want to be like You, Jesus. There's an ever-changing glory to glory that I want to be like that. I want to approach You in worship. I want to come close to You. I love the scripture. I used it at a memorial the other day. It's in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. And this picture, John gets taken up to heaven. And I love the message. Comes into heaven and he says, and when I saw this holiness, when I saw the picture of heaven, when I saw it, it took my breath away. Just love that. It's just like what he saw. And what he saw was the Lamb standing, waiting, welcoming. Inviting. It wasn't seated, it was standing, it was waiting. And when we see His beauty, when we see His holiness, when we begin to worship, there's this drawing near, and then this arms open, waiting, come. And then alongside of Him, all the 144,000, I think it speaks of all those who are being saved. It's a picture of those who have been redeemed. It says, His name inscribed upon their foreheads. Don't you think that's beautiful? His name on their foreheads. You and I, if we believe God, if we believe Jesus, have accepted Him as Lord of our lives, He inscribes His name on our foreheads. We are His. And I draw near. God, the holiness of God is like, took my breath away. It's this awesome beauty, but yet draws me close. Can I draw near? So beautiful, I must draw near. It's that kind of feeling about it. John Piper wrote this: we belittle God when we go through the outward motions of worship and take no pleasure in His person. Worship is basically adoration, and we adore only what delights us. There's no such thing as sad adoration or unhappy praise. Anything less than passionate, extravagant worship to God is not worship that's due His name. I close with a story, and hopefully I've done okay job with this passage of scripture of seeing God in the storm. David wasn't really a storm chaser. He was a God chaser. Tommy Tenney writes a book on called The God Chaser. Don't any of you read it? Just chasing God. And that's what David was. He saw the storm, but he saw God in the storm, and I'm chasing God. Wherever he is, that's where I'm going. If you're over the waters, you're in my darkest place, my most difficult, in the storm, there I am with you. He saw that, and I want to be with God. Are you a God chaser? I remember, final little story, when I was in Mossel Bay, I often used to go in my preparation of my heart, and that just for the church. I used to take a walk up there. There was a steep hill I used to walk up. I used to take my guitar. I don't know any of you know Mossel Bay, the trail at the top where the cave is. I don't know if you know there's the cave. I used to walk all the way. It was quite a walk up the hill with my guitar, and I used to walk down a little bit of a rough journey to there, and used to sit on the edge, worship, looking at the water. And I'm looking at the water, I'm looking at this power and the wave upon wave breaking against the cliffs, I forgot the fact that the journey up the hill was difficult. I didn't think about the weight of my guitar carrying up there. I didn't think about the journey up there. I just thought the wonder of the faithfulness of God. Every wave crashing, blown by the wind of the Spirit, on crashing against those waves, the waves against the cliff. And I thought, this is wonder, this is worship. Those of you who've climbed Table Mountain, I think I've climbed it once since here, but those of you like climbing Table Mountain, I know you think it is exercise and everything, but I'm sure when you get to the top and you look at the view, you're not thinking, I have to go down the mountain again. You're just thinking, majestic, beautiful. Worship is about, I know there's a bit of work and there's laying down of things that we may need to do, but the view is magnificent. God is beautiful. God is delightful. God is good. God is majestic. He's in your storm. Are you a God chaser? And so my encouragement to you and to all of us this evening, and I'd love us to just go into a time of worship. Hopefully what I've said will draw us more into that place of worship. Is God sovereign to you? Have you ascribed the sovereignty of God in your heart, that He rules over and in all? Have you seen the goodness of God? Have you imprinted the goodness of God on your heart, and your response is going to be extravagant worship. It's due His name. Does your life, what He's imprinted on your heart, on your life, is an expression of the goodness of God in your life, in your worship, the way you connect with one another, the way you talk to one another, the way we have fellowship with one another, the way you reach out to others, the love of God imprinted on our heart that you reach out to others. This is worship. This is why we're saying it's the very foundation of Christianity on my life, is imprinting God on our hearts. And He's saying, I'm making myself available to you to be known. Allow God to imprint His word of who He is on your heart today. Let's stand. Let's stand. There's a song, maybe the muse of the worship team can forward, that I want them to sing. It's a song, you may or may not know it, but they're going to sing, and then we're going to join in with worship as you go in. And maybe some of you want to come forward so long, because I do want this to be part of just worship and putting in the foundation of worship and who God is. Father, I just pray that my words, that as I spoke, God, that the words, your word would imprint it on every single one of our hearts. And our response would be glory that's due your name. That we would worship you in the beauty of your holiness, God. That you're not unapproachable, God. But in Jesus, in Christ, we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And we can come near. And I thank you, God. You invite us to be partakers in your nature. We adore you, God. We want to adore you with joy. We want to adore you with joy. God, there's no sad adoration. Oh God, let us view you, God, tonight, who you are. You are glorious. You are majestic. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Just let the worship team just sing the song. I felt them just to sing it over us. Just for the first time around.